Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Well, good morning. Jesus makes a difference in our life. He came, he died upon the cross to redeem us so that we could be released from our sin and that we could have eternal life and not suffer the punishment that comes for those that don't receive him. But he came for so much more. He came that we would have this life that is more abundant. If he didn't come for that purpose, then we've got a long time to wait before we enjoy the good stuff. So we thought, no better way of demonstrating that than to get together some Christian people who can talk about the difference that Jesus has made in their life. And just very quick introduction, for those who don't know, I'm Colin and I'm the worship team leader of this church. This is Charlotte. She's one of our emerging worship team members. She's a Year 12 student. These aren't all the things about them. They've got so many amazing things, but just very quickly. Carolyn is a professional musician and music teacher, a great woman of God. I've spent some time with her and had heard her parts of her testimony. And I would also like to say that Carolyn is an associate member of our team and an advisor, and I believe probably a prayer warrior as well. For us, which we greatly appreciate, and Adam is a great guy. Adam's not a great guy, but he's the head of our production team. He's also an amazing father and a great husband, I believe, not to me. And he's also a corrections officer in a very hard prison. And it's great to have Jesus walking around that prison in the form of Adam. Which is fantastic. This is Rhys. So I've known Rhys since he was an awkward teenager, but he's a great man of God as well. Great husband to my daughter Laura and father to my grandson Harry. And Rhys is also the general manager of a winery in Orange and a sommelier. If you don't know what that is, look it up. But more importantly, these people have all given their lives to Christ, and they've come from somewhere. Something happened, and now they're in a place that is really greatly dominated by their relationship with Jesus. So I guess what I'm going to do is speak to each one of them and get them to share with you those particular things. Specifically, what was I before I became a Christian? Next is, how was it that I came to this realization that I needed Jesus in my life, and how did that actually transpire? And then I suppose finally it's a work in progress. It's what is my life like now, and how does having Jesus in my life, for want of a better term, dominate the way that I live, dominate in a good way? So we're going to start, and I thought I might start with Carolyn. Carolyn, you heard those three questions, and we didn't do any preparation in this, did we?
No. I did.
Oh, did you? Excellent.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's my personality.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. And I said to these guys, I said, we're going to be really authentic today. Just relaxed and don't worry if I don't get to your story. And because I'm not going to cut anybody off, really, but we'll be right. So I thought I'd run Carolyn first because she looked really worried about that prospect.
Well, I'll put a spanner in the works to start with and say, I've been a Christian my whole life.
Yep.
So I have, potentially a different story. So I was born into a Christian home, series of ministers through our heritage, Sunday school, youth, and I was taught exactly how to behave. It was all about behaviour. I knew all the Bible stories and I always believed there was God. I never, in my whole life, I've never questioned that. And I guess it wasn't a head faith, like even just as a child, I was just so captivated by God and wanting to know more about him. But I did feel like as a child and a teenager, probably more as a teenager, that I was a little different to the people in my church. I really wanted to question things, not because I was questioning God or questioning the Bible, but I read that Jesus said, I offer you life and life to the full. And I was just, what is that? And I just couldn't seem to sort of get an answer that I was settled with. Yeah. So I guess my Christian journey has just been step by step, plod by plod. It's been all about life experiences, moments of revelation that's just sort of like moved me onto that next level of understanding who God is. I was confirmed as a teenager, which is what my church did. And that was for me a big thing, and I took that really seriously, and I was on fire and I was going to do everything for God. As a young adult in my 20s, I found a group of people who were searching and asking questions like me. And so this was really exciting, because all of a sudden I didn't feel like I was the terrible one that wanted to question things, but there were other people out there in the world who were doing that too and seeking and searching more of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we arrived at a church where the Holy Spirit was actually a person.
Mm-hmm.
And was actually part of the Trinity, equal part of the Trinity. This church believed in prayer. They actually believed when you prayed that God would answer your prayers. And so it was at this place that I was actually baptized in water, but also baptized in the Holy Spirit, and began to be able to speak in tongues.
Yep.
And it was at this place that I would say I began to experience God,
yeah,
rather than just seeking, searching, but actually experience God. Yeah. So, and I guess that sort of gave me moments of peace, moments of revelation, times where I felt really fulfilled. So the times after this then got a little bit hairy. Life was sort of full of adversity and dreams lost, and it was that sort of place where I began to experience relationship with God. I heard him actually speak into my heart, and the things that he spoke into my heart were things that I'd never heard before. They were things such as how much he loved me, mm-hmm, for who I was,
yeah,
not for what I did, and that I was his beautiful child, and that he valued me. So they were certainly not my words. So that was a real shift, a real change. And I began to understand at this point more of God's heart, started to get glimpses of how he saw us, how he sees our world rather than how I see it. Yeah. So my worldview began to change. So the question of how is my life different with Jesus as my Lord and Saviour, there is a difference. See, I gradually over my life I've shifted from believing in God to shifting him to be my Lord and Saviour, to knowing who he is,
yeah,
and having him in my heart. And there was never, like I said, there was at one point where that happened. It's just been this gradual journey. How am I different? Well, I'm very different to how I was in my 20s, I can tell you that. I realize faith is not what I can get from God, but it is actually about relationship with him. He wants me to be intimate with him and walk with him every single second of my day. But he won't stop those bad things from happening.
Yeah.
And he won't stop those horrible things from erupting out of me. But he's with me in it all.
Yeah.
And he helps me move through it and understand it and see it from his point of view. and shift and change and sort of navigate life.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's sort of, yeah, the really big thing for me. I now have a much more realistic view of myself, of my strengths and my weaknesses. Yeah, and things that have changed, I can see that have shifted in me is the ability to truly forgive and love people, the revelation that I too am a sinner and I too mess up, mm-hmm. and that it's not everybody else's fault and that we're all sort of in it together. And yeah, I have so much more compassion for people now, really interested in relationship and getting to know people much more than just in processes and doing things. Yeah, there's some of the things.
Thank you.
Do you want me to keep going?
No, no,
I'll
think,
leave you to ask a question.
And we'll come back to you. I will come back to you, God willing. Rhys, you're next, mate.
Yeah, okay. Hello. So I suppose, yeah, my journey, I grew up in the church as well, not from a child, but kind of year six onwards I started going to church, and it was as a teenager that I gave my life to Christ. It was probably 10 years after that that I would have called myself a Christian, but I'm not sure I necessarily had a relationship with Jesus. Like I didn't really go to church very often. I didn't read the Bible. I didn't really pray. And, you know, I'd go to church on and off, and I suppose God was waiting patiently for me there. Jesus was there being patient and calling me to him. But I wasn't quite getting there. There was always excuses for not going to church, you know, work, new relationships, one new relationship, I suppose. friends, socializing, you know, all sorts of excuses. And, you know, occasionally those excuses wouldn't hold up and I'd go to church and, you know, I'd really feel connected to God then, but I'd kind of come and go and come and go. And as I started to come and go and spend more and more time at church, I started to make some really great relationships and great friendships with people. And it was those friendships that really started to show Jesus to me, and the joy and the love that those people had and the relationship that they had with Jesus really started to kind of impact on my heart and really kind of wear down those excuses for not making time for God and not spending time with him. And it's that kind of development that really pushed me to go, okay, I don't need these excuses. I just need to dedicate myself to going to church, to reading the Bible, to spending time with God and working out how I could make that happen in my life and how I could prioritize that. Through that, obviously, I did start going to church more and more regularly, and I must admit, you know, I'm still working at making that a kind of regular thing. Throughout COVID, I pretty much didn't go to church much at all, even online. But you know, it's that journey with Jesus and that constant, you know, change and development of yourself. I suppose that then brings to that third kind of point question. It's the relationship with Jesus and that kind of example and model that he sets that I think leads me to want to be a better husband and better father with Jesus there to help me do that and to be that example and really kind of, you know, constantly work with me to be better at those roles in my life, but also, you know, the way I interact with other people and the team that I manage at work and really just making sure that I'm coming at them with love and humility and all the traits of Jesus that we, you know, see and expect.
Yep. Fantastic, Rhys. Thank you very much. And I can attest to that. I've seen over the years the growth in you and we've watched from afar, and I guess as parents do, we pray for our, you know, our kids and their spouses and so on, and we've just really seen God at work in your life. And, yes, it's amazing. It's fantastic. Adam.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. They still have covered it.
Yeah, they have covered it.
Once again, yeah, raised in a Christian family. Yeah, it's a theme. And gave my heart to Jesus when I was 4. Asked him to be my Lord and Saviour.
Yep. 4 years old?
4 years old. Wow. 4 years old. So to me, Jesus was always a superhero. He was always, wow, that guy.
Yep.
Went through private school, all that kind of stuff. Got out in the workforce, into the real world. Jesus kind of slowly slipped back. Never stopped believing him, always believed in him. But I always called on him when the trouble hit.
Yeah.
And then once everything was good, back to my life, did everything. I was not living a Christian lifestyle. Even though I was still believed in Jesus, still raised in a Christian family, was not certainly living as a Christian should live. And that went through. First marriage fell apart. I think that was the first time I started really seeing the Lord through the breakdown of that, the separation period. Met Joe. And I still remember the night lying in bed going, okay, we're going to move to Bathurst. I want to get into a church. We tried a couple of churches down in Sydney and didn't really gel. But being a father, 4 kids, we wanted to establish that foundation for our kids. And found C3 online and then thought, rightio, we'll check it out. And it was next door. It was the first time Jesus went from a superhero to a person.
Yeah.
It was the first time a relationship had hit. And the overwhelming... So forgiveness. I didn't deserve it, but he still gave it.
Yeah.
And it was from there that I learned I can call on him. I can be interactive with him. I can create a relationship with him. And it's over that time where I've gone, I've looked at you, I've looked at Jeff, I've looked at other people, how they do their relationship, but I've learned it's my relationship with
Indeed.
The Lord.
Absolutely.
So what works for you doesn't necessarily work for me.
Totally.
And finding that has really established my rhythm with the Lord.
Yeah.
It's taken me to a complete new level. I've now got a confidence in things that I do that I didn't have before. And for me, one of the biggest verses that are standing out at the moment is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. At the moment, that's not taking that out of context.
Mm-hmm.
For me, if I just change that slightly, I can face any situation in front of me because of Christ that's in me. I'm in him, he's in me. He gives me the strength. There was nothing that he cannot defeat. So for me, knowing that and believing that gives me the strength to be able to move forward no matter what the circumstances are.
Yep.
And, yeah, it's ever-changing. It's ever-evolving.
Yep.
And I love it.
Fantastic. Thanks, Adam. I was going to ask Reese a quick question while it's on my mind, is that you talked about how you went from being, you know, a Christian but not engaged, and then you went through that transition period to a place where you decided that that engagement was important and you wanted to actually build upon this faith that you had. Can you tell me the difference? What you've experienced both now, both parts of that world. I mean, undoubtedly, when we step to that place where our decision is to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, there's effort and sacrifice in that. I guess what I want to ask you is, has it been worth it? And you know, would you ever consider going back to where you were? I've got no ulterior motives in that question either. So,
is it a cop out if I just say yes and then no?
Yeah, you could do that. You can even just hold that if you want to hold that question in your mind for a moment, formulate an answer, and I can go straight to Charlotte and come back to you. What would you like?
No, I can answer it. Okay. Look, I mean, yeah, it's a huge, huge difference. You know, making the change and getting to know Christ more and committing to that, and I don't think I would go back. I mean, it is a sacrifice, but it's an easy sacrifice. It's pales in the comparison to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's For me, it's committing to serving God. It's committing to come to church and spend time with friends and family. And I mean, that shouldn't be too difficult. It's committing to reading the Bible every morning, or I try to every morning, which I have a coffee every morning, so I should be able to read the Bible every morning too. You know, it's making all those small things. And I suppose the change then that I see is particularly starting the day in relationship with God helps to then inform the rest of my day, and kind of sets the tone for how I approach everything that day.
Yeah, great. Do you think that are there ever days that you don't start well?
Many days.
And yeah. Do you see a difference in that? I mean, can you think there's a tangible difference in those days where you start with Jesus and those days that you just don't have time and you just zoom off into the world? And
yeah, and I suppose this comes back to the you know, excuses, and the excuses always come up. Even, you know, you try to get rid of them completely and they're just going to keep coming up. And I think that's just that pushback of society and whatnot. But there are certainly days when, you know, I get out of bed and I don't really want to read the Bible, and I suppose I'm just in a bit more of a grumpy mood for the day.
just a human.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly right. Yeah. Charlotte, how about I give you a microphone?
Yeah.
Yeah? You're right to speak?
I'm Charlotte. And I have grown up in the church. I've been in the church since I was a little girl. I've got videos of me singing worship songs. It's very cute. But it wasn't until I was in my teenage years that I kind of questioned, like, why am I even here? My whole family seems to love God, but there's just nothing really, like, clicking for me right now. And when the COVID pandemic hit, I was at that really influential stage where I was making my own decisions, and I wasn't attending church because we didn't have church. And so I was at home. We'd have online church, but I'd sleep in because I was 15 and I wanted to sleep in. And I just found I didn't have that connection with him. And maybe it was the COVID pandemic, maybe it was just me, I didn't click. But I found myself, I was with a friend group that did questionable things, said questionable things, and that really reflected on my life. I found, well, I can reflect on that now, who I am today, that the people that I hung out with really influenced how I acted in my own life. And I just found myself not doing things that I thought probably would have been what my parents wanted me to live up to. And it wasn't until about this time last year, I was actually moved out of my room. I was put into the caravan because Laura and Reese took my room so they could have their house renovated. So I'm in the caravan by myself, and I'd just broken up with my boyfriend. He wasn't a Christian. So I was very sad, and I felt isolated. I was in this caravan by myself, and like I go into the house and I connect with my family, but a lot of the time I was just by myself. I was very sad. And it wasn't until I was at school one day and a girl from the year above me came up to me and she goes, "Oh, Charlotte, would you like to go to youth?" And this is a little youth group that we have in my town. And I was like, "Oh, don't really, I'll see, I'll ask my parents." And usually I do this thing where I ask my parents, but I don't actually ask my parents. I just say, "Oh, they said no." But I asked mum and dad, I said, "This girl wants me to go to youth, should I really do it?" And they're like, "I think you should." And I was like, "Oh, but it means I have to talk to new people and play these weird games." And so I was like, "You know what, let's just do it. I'm just going to go to youth, see how it goes." So I walked into this building, and it was the old church that I went to when I was little. And I felt so at home. All the loneliness that I'd felt when I was alone, it just wasn't there. And, like, I'd carried this loneliness around when I was at school. And when I walked into this little church, I was like, oh, man, I'm at home. And everyone was so nice to me and they all loved Jesus. And I was like, wait, I want what they have. I really, really want what they have. And it got to, we played all these games, weird games, I tell you. But we came to worship and we listened to recording. It was just a Hillsong recording. And I was caught between a rock and a hard place because when I'd grown up, everyone stood up for worship. But at this youth group, not everyone had to stand up for worship. And I thought, oh, do I not? So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to stand up. So I stood up and they played the music and I looked around and I saw just a few people and they were standing up and they were worshiping. And when I say they were worshiping, they were worshiping. They had their arms up and everything. And I was standing there and I was like, do I raise my arms? Like, I've been in church and I've seen people raise their arms and I'm like, oh, what are they doing? But it was in this presence of youth and they had the worship music on and I had people around me that loved God and I knew I just didn't feel any judgment. Like, I didn't feel like if I put my hands up, everyone's going to be like, oh, what is she doing? But so I put my arms up and that was the first time I ever put my arms up when I worshipped and it was amazing. It was really amazing. I loved it. So I've been going to this youth group for like a year now and I just love them. They really are a family and I find that when I'm in the presence of other Christians, I just don't feel the judgment and it's so good. It feels so refreshing. So I found that now that I have, like, I've been baptized, I shared a little testimony at my baptism that when I was younger and throughout my life, I felt so empty at times. Like I really wanted like a glass of water. I don't know what it was. It was something about a glass of water. I was really thirsty. I needed to drink this water and I drank water and nothing happened. I was still thirsty. So I asked my brother, I was like, hey, Jeremy, what's going on here? And he's like, you know what? I had the exact same thing. And then it went away when I got baptized. So I went and saw Jeff late last year and I said, I really want to be baptized. He's like, let's do it. Let's go. So after that, after I talked to him, after I saw him, I just didn't feel that like emptiness of needing a glass of water or needing something. I was just filled. And when I got dunked in the water and came back up, they prayed over me and I just felt so filled with God's presence. It was absolutely amazing. So I've just found that, like, sometimes in life things don't go the way I want it to go. I can be like, oh, God, please get me this, get me that. But obviously that's not always going to happen. So I just find that having God by my side, I've made better decisions. I'm more of a person that I want to be. I'm more proud of who I am. I'm more sociable. I can talk to people and I feel so connected to people now and I just find like even if I'm having a bad day or if I'm having a good day, I can thank God, I can ask God for help and I just don't feel that loneliness. I don't feel that isolation that I felt when I was alone in that caravan and I haven't felt it in a long time and I just feel so blessed that I have that opportunity to like have Jesus and God in my life. It's so changing and overwhelming.
That's fantastic. Awesome. And it takes me to a question for you, Carolyn. You're a really nice person. You just come across to me as a really nice person. What do you say to the people that might say to you, well, you know, you talk about how, you've learned how to accept people and forgive people and you have a deeper compassion for people because of Jesus' presence in your life. Well, you know, I know some people who are just don't have Jesus in their life and they've got that stuff as well. What do you say about that? I guess what I'm saying is it really Jesus at work in your life or is it just that you're a nice person?
I wouldn't say I was a nice person. And we won't ask my husband that one. How do I know it's Jesus in my life?
Your iPad's slow. Fall off. Your iPad's going to fall off.
I've got it. I've got it. I think it's that I think it's that, just that knowing in terms of in relationship with God. And so revelations from him, things that he says to me that I know aren't from me, mm-hmm. Because they're not what I think. Yeah. You say that I might be nice, but that's how I've been taught to behave.
Yeah.
From when I was little. I have this real battle that goes on in my head all the time. Battling between what I, how something makes me feel, and I get, I struggle, or I get angry, or I get frustrated, I'm disappointed, all this stuff, and it churns around and around inside.
Yeah.
And so I guess I know on the surface, it may not, it might, people probably only rarely see that slip out.
Yeah.
But I know that at those times that there's no way I could get through that if it wasn't that I call on God and just say, this junk, just take it. And it's hard to give it to him.
Yeah.
It's hard to hand it over when it's something you've always had there churning around.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. But to hand it over, and then it takes a bit of time.
Yeah.
And then, but I'm finding as I get older and older, it slips away quicker and quicker. Uh-huh. And he takes it away, and I go, okay, good. Yeah, I feel at peace again.
Yeah.
But I just know that if I didn't have God in my life to hand that stuff to, well, I would, yeah, wouldn't be here today.
Awesome.
Put it that way.
Awesome. We're nearly finished, and I just want to ask Adam a quick question. It's, name some superheroes for me. So
Iron Man.
Batman. Who else?
Batman.
Superman.
Yeah.
How is Jesus any different to Iron Man, Batman and Superman? Because seriously, Iron Man, Batman and Superman are just people written about in a book. They're fantastic. We love them. Sahara loves them to pieces. She particularly likes Spider-Man.
Yep.
She knows everything about Spider-Man.
Yep.
And these are great characters that often stand up for some fantastic. How is Jesus any different to a superhero like them? Because he's just written about in a book as well, isn't he?
Exactly right. And that's how I saw it when I was a kid. It was some good bloke in a book.
Mm-hmm.
Did all this amazing stuff. Being put in a situation where you've got absolutely no control, you pray a prayer and deliverance, that you can't call on a superhero to do that. You can't.
Because they just don't turn up, do they?
They don't.
No.
They don't. I've put the light out in the sky. No, it doesn't work. It's personal. He's real. He's in every situation. He gives me the confidence to step forward when I'm so scared to.
Yeah.
There's a reassurance there. I love looking back and seeing when the Lord's actually impacted certain things in my life, and I can go, that was the hand of the Lord, that was the hand of the Lord. I'm starting to see now the Lord's hand at work in that miracle in certain situations.
Yeah.
And being in a part of that, it's amazing. It takes faith to a whole new level. It takes confidence to a whole new level.
Right.
And
so Jesus is, you see Jesus tangibly at work in your day-to-day life.
Yes. Right. And unfortunately, I see the other side of that coin every day in the real world, in a jail.
Sure.
And to see both sides of that coin, I couldn't do it. I'd be in a mess if I had to rely on my own strength inside that jail. Yep. So the Lord gets me through it. He puts me in situations where I can do what others do, or I can show grace, or I can show forgiveness, or I can show mercy. No different to what he did to me.
Yeah.
So
fantastic. Firstly, I'd like you all to give these guys a hand for stepping up. Fantastic. And I really appreciate your willingness as well. But I suppose also just to not just leave it there, just to reach out to you and to say if you think that you haven't taken that actual step to receive Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, that you... you may have even done that, but you haven't yet experienced the relationship that Jesus so desperately wants to have with you. This is a great day for that to happen. this is a really good day. You've got four witnesses here, credible witnesses, I would say, that talk about their personal journey with Jesus. And at the end of this service, I'd like the worship team, what's left of them, to step up here. And, oh, no, they're all here. So step up. And at the end of this service, once the music's finished and we've said goodbye to you, if you'd like to, for us just to pray for you, come on up. Pastor Rowe will be here. I'll be up here as well. And, you know, it might be just something simple like, I really haven't considered Jesus for my life yet, and I'd like him to show himself to me today so I might discover him in the future. It's all steps. It's all steps. Or it might be something totally different. There might be something else going on in your life as well that we'd love to be able to pray with you about. So please feel free to do that. These guys are going to lead us in some worship just at the end of the service. And bless you all.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.